God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. The Lord said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we're mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. God places leaders in power. He removes them. He shuffles them. He allows figureheads to reign. We had figurehead leaders in biblical days. People who weren't really, really there to lead the Jewish people, not in faith, but they were there to placate Rome. Well, we've got the same dynamic here, the same exact dynamic. Who is Rome? Well, it's the big funders behind the Democrat Party. It's Barack Hussein Obama. God bless Rush Limbaugh, who called him that. It's Michelle Obama. It's the fundraisers. It's BlackRock. It's obvious. The machine just kept running. The bizarre phone call that didn't really appear to be a phone call, because Kamala Harris just about called it a recording with the figurehead's voice on it, was utterly, utterly Soviet. It was just looking back to the days of disappeared leaders. What? Kim Jong-un? Oh, no, we're on to the next Kim Jong. It's very North Korea. It's very much un-American. There have been no votes at all for Kamala Harris. Not a single Democrat has voted for Kamala Harris to be the nominee of the party. The funders have, the superdelegates have perhaps, but not a single human being who's not a superdelegate. And this from the party that says they are here to protect democracy, they call it, against authoritarianism, is what they call President Trump. There's a report that indicates that there was a move to set up Biden to fail at the debate, to force him out of the race. A report indicates that delegates to back Senator Mark Kelly from Arizona at the Chicago DNC convention, they want to back him. That's who they want. But there was an effort behind the scenes to drive Biden out of the race by setting up to fail in the debate. I was curious if they had given him his drugs, because in my judgment, he's been drugged for many of these debates. I said at the time, maybe the drugs have failed. I even said at the time, maybe they decided to not give him the drugs so people could see. I think I suggested that it could be a staffer who knows the fraud that Biden has been cognitively. Well, and he's been a fraud throughout his career. And yes, I do pray for him. Yes, I actually did. I actually had a heartfelt prayer for Joe Biden. I even recorded it on video. Thank you, Lord God, for giving me that. Thank you for letting the Holy Spirit reign in me. Tulsi Gabbard, the Democrat, I guess you could say disaffected Democrat, I think trying to position herself as someone of an independent, maybe thinking one day of an independent run for president, she said this about Kamala Harris.
She is unfit and unqualified to be our president and commander in chief and would be incredibly dangerous in that position. The prospect of Kamala Harris making decisions about war and peace and where to send my brothers and sisters in uniform into harm's way is not only terrifying to us, it should be terrifying to every American, knowing that we would all pay the price for her dangerous actions and dangerous decisions. Everything you've heard me say about Hillary Clinton, the queen of warmongers, can also be said of Kamala Harris. There should be no question in your mind that if Kamala is allowed to be our president and commander in chief, she'll be the maidservant of this queen of warmongers, the head of this elitist cabal of warmongers that has gotten us into this place. They're the ones who've been calling the shots behind Joe Biden's presidency. They would continue to call the shots if Kamala Harris is president. And where have they led us? To the brink of war with multiple countries in all parts of the world, and closer to the brink of nuclear war and Armageddon now than ever before.
And these are the things they said Donald Trump would do, of course. And I think Tulsi Gabbard is right. Now, this stuff is all unremovable. It is inseparable from the assassination attempt that, in my judgment, was allowed to occur against President Trump. I can't find any other way to describe it but allowed to occur. and the so-called director of the Secret Service, who is simply a political plant and sadly a brutal liar and very bad at lying, Kimberly Cheadle, said something about the radio traffic that day.
Does the Secret Service routinely record communications between and amongst detail?
Radio communications?
Any communication.
Well, email communications are captured, as well as text messages. And then, depending on the detail, radio communications are recorded.
Does the Secret Service have recorded communications from the July 13th event?
We do not have radio communications from that day.
That's so weird. That's so weird. It's like when the cameras outside of Jeffrey Epstein's cell went dead. Oh, the cameras in his cell went dead. And the guards fell asleep. And the 911 calls from the prison to the paramedics to 911, those got erased. It's so weird. It's so weird that the January 6th text messages in that same part of government, the Secret Service, got erased. It was part of a system-wide update. I want you to know that. They're lying, obviously, and I think this is by design. I think this is an effort to show us, guys, understand something. We're unaccountable. Nothing we do wrong is going to get punished. We're unaccountable. It's to tire us out. I'm not going to be tired. Nor am I going to count on DC to save us, because it's not going to. Our saving has already happened through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. It's in his blood we're saved. It's still a decision you can make if you've not made it. Other people are not giving up. Senator Ron Johnson talked about the Secret Service actually not being in attendance during a 9 a.m. security meeting the day of the assassination attempt.
The Secret Service did not even attend the 9 o'clock security meeting with local law enforcement. Pretty well put in charge the Butler County law enforcement to coordinate things. Law enforcement wasn't even on the same channel.
Just to be clear, Senator, that was a 9 a.m. meeting on July 13th, the day of the shooting.
Correct.
Secret Service
had been there for site visits, weren't even there. You know, kind of turned over some of the outer perimeter stuff to local law enforcement. They weren't even on the same security channel. So the sniper and SWAT teams weren't on the same channel as the patrol officers, and they weren't on the same channel as Secret Service. So they had to relay things. One of the things we found out is that, we've got a more detailed timeline.
Yeah, and this detailed timeline shows a lot. Incompetence, sure. My theory has been for many, many years that there are smart, scheming people on top and far less smart, maybe even dumb people on the bottom who are servile and just doing what they're told. In the middle, there's a lot of people just trying to get their jobs done, keep their heads down, get to their retirement, or like in our case, just make a living and feed our families. Senator Ron Johnson says it turns out that the local police department had taken a photo of Crooks an hour before the event.
This picture is now on the internet, but a picture was photo was taken by the local sniper team in the AGR building at 5:14 of Crooks. So again, we had pictures of this guy. Why wasn't he intercepted? There's so many unanswered questions here.
The pictures were taken at 5:14, and he was shot at 6:11.
Correct.
That's Maria Bartolomeu, Fox News, doing a great job with this interview. This is inexorably linked to the placement of Kamala Harris as the Democrat nominee. She is literally selected, not elected. Literally. That was the chant, of course, that Democrats used about George W. Bush, selected, not elected. This is quite literally a selection and a shoving down the throat of Democrat voters, someone for whom they did not vote for president. And there should be an open convention, but they're doing everything they can as Democrats to make sure there is no discussion on this. Let's just go back. Let's just review. Donald Trump cheated. Russia hacked the election. Then Russia told him what to do. Then there was this insurrection-y thing where President Trump said, go seize power with no guns. Even though President Trump said, proceed peacefully. Don't fight with the police. Go home. It's over. All of the lies told about Trump are manifest in this bizarre and obvious soft coup. Until I see more proof that Biden actually made this decision, if he's even capable of making decisions, it's a soft coup. And if he's capable of making decisions, then he could come and explain his decision to leave in vivid detail and not have stunts like the other day. I think it was Tuesday morning that there was this Kamala Harris pretty obviously talking to a recorded Biden. She even said, I know you're still on the record, and then changed to call. You heard that yesterday. Senator Johnson, Fox News with Maria Bartolomeu, hints that there could have been more than one shooter as more data is being sent to him.
Yeah, we can glean things in terms of audio and in terms of, you know, where the shots came from. You know, was it one rifle? Was it more than one? I've seen some pretty interesting video on the internet by experts that certainly calls into question what the FBI is telling us about a single shooter.
Now, I have problems believing the multiple shooter theory, and I'll tell you why. It's because I think President Trump would have been dead. Talked to friends of mine who were former snipers, one with the Special Forces, one with SEALs. In fact, a third friend of mine who ran a SWAT team. And I asked all of them, would he be dead under your tutelage? And they said, yeah, 99%, because we'd have got three other shots in him. So I kind of doubt the multi-shooter theory, because, again, President Trump, I think, would have been dead. Now, after the shooter was killed, an ATF agent was somehow at the scene. An ATF agent is an investigative body. Now, perhaps this is just standard operating procedure, but you think they could say that. This guy shows up in a gray suit and says, hey, to local PD, send me all your photos. Senator Johnson talked about this.
So that sniper team that was in the AGR building, they're the first ones that went up on the roof. They were the first to encounter the dead assassin at that point in time. Later on, other people joined them, and you know, somebody told them to send the pictures they had taken to an ATF agent, which I think is very strange. And we called up that ATF agent. That individual said that he was with ATF, and now he's gone dark. We've also reached out to the Secret Service agents in charge on the ground. All we're getting there is the runaround. So we are getting information from local law enforcement, and we appreciate that. But unfortunately, federal law enforcement agents, they're just saying, well, go through your congressional liaison.
That's exactly right. And they are blocking investigations. Senator Johnson revealed that local PD had secured the AGI building's second floor since 10:30 in the morning.
The oddity starts with the fact that local law enforcement were just tasked with securing the perimeter, told to go cover that AGI building, not really told where to set up, so they set up on the second floor. They went to that AGI building at 10:30 in the morning.
It was secured. 10:30 in the morning. And this was allowed to occur. One day after that, this failed assassination attempt, President Trump is the official nominee. A few days after that, the figurehead, who was robust and going to run, is no longer going to run. And he's been scarcely seen, let's put it that way, scarcely seen. We're watching in live time the very thing the Soviets watched in live time. Just a swapping out of whose turn it is. We're watching Kamala Harris now. And here's what's so phenomenal. If you ever wonder about party loyalty and the sickness of party loyalty, being loyal to a party other than the Lord Jesus, or your family, but through, you know, in a godly way, we always put God first, family second. You're watching people suddenly say, Kamala Harris fever. They're just forgetting old Joe in the background. In a way, it's brutal. In a way, Joe Biden should expect it. If, and I don't mean to be cruel, he can expect anything. The switching of loyalty is one thing, but pretending to be excited about it? How many of these Democrats are actually excited about Kamala Harris being their standard bearer? We'll come back on The Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Sometimes, just for fun, I read MSNBC. Just for fun. And I came across an article, and here's the headline. A potential Trump versus Harris race puts two competing ideas of Christianity on display. Harris embodies our nation's founding ideals of religious freedom and models a Christian commitment to religious pluralism. This is by Guthrie Gavez Fitzsimmons, author of Just Faith, Reclaiming Progressive Christianity. There is no such thing. There cannot be such a thing as progressive Christianity. Why? Because Christianity doesn't change. It doesn't progress. It has already progressed to all it can ever be, which is perfect. So from the very get-go, they lie. Here's her piece, or part of it. Following President Joe Biden's announcement that he will no longer seek re-election in November, in the 2024 presidential race, juxtaposes two very different versions of Christianity. Donald Trump brandishes a performative rendition of the Christian faith as a political prop to advance authoritarian theocracy, while Vice President Kamala Harris, whom Biden has endorsed to take his place as the Democrat nominee, practices the Christian faith she was raised in while embracing her interfaith family. Pause. Number one, I have seen no proof and do not believe that was Joe Biden's announcement. And he can say what he wants, but that was not the way you announce something this extraordinary. The ending of a career. The switching of presidents. Well, because they're showing. Man's not fit to run. He's not fit to lead. He hasn't been fit to lead the entire time he's been in. She also pretends that President Trump wants to create a theocracy. This would be the same President Trump who allowed the RNC event to feature prayers to foreign gods? That's setting up a theocracy? How exactly? Back to her piece. In doing so, this is referring to Harris supposedly practicing her Christian faith in which she was raised. In doing so, Harris embodies our nation's founding ideals of religious freedom and models a commitment to religious pluralism. Although he has reportedly mocked his conservative Christian leaders behind their backs, was not active in church before running for president, says he never asked God for forgiveness, Trump has manufactured mass far-right devotion among his base through moves like overturning Roe versus Wade, surviving an assassination attempt only heightened mega zealotry, as we saw but with the surge of Christian nationalist narrative claiming Trump survived only by the will of God. Okay, let's pause again. Supposedly mocked his Christian leaders behind his back. I didn't even click the link. It's MSNBC. Was not active in church before running for president. True. And has never asked God for forgiveness. I think President Trump said he has never needed redemption. Think what he said. Those are all, I guess, with the exception of mocking Christian leaders behind their backs, rumor. Those are true. And Christians, actual Christians who read the Bible, are not unaware of these things. We understand that God can use anybody. God has used in magnificent form Donald John Trump. He did it again. And it is hardly a Christian nationalist idea to look at a man 2 inches from having his head blown up by a bullet and look at that as an act of God. We still live in a country where the phrase force majeure is used in contracts. You know what that means? Act of God. Force majeure. We will deliver these goods and services unless God causes something to fail in case we cannot deliver it. That's still in contracts. We still recognize God's sovereignty. And many of us recognize the fact that Joe Biden has been allowed to be figurehead by God's will. Kamala Harris is perhaps being installed because God is allowing it. It's not a nationalist or Christian nationalist idea to believe God intervenes. Back to this article in MSNBC, contending that Kamala Harris practices her Christian faith. Harris grew up attending 23rd Avenue Church of God in Oakland. I was raised to live my faith, she said at a National Baptist Convention, USA, annual meeting in 2022. Marching for civil rights, my parents pushed me in a stroller. That was faith in action. Okay, let's stop for a second. This is the same woman who recently plagiarized MLK, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who stole his life story. So I have no reason to believe she was actually pushed in a stroller at civil rights events. I've witnessed her put her faith in action on the national stage. 4 days after Biden picked her to be his running mate in 2020, I was invited by the Biden-Harris campaign to attend a meeting between her and national faith leaders. We heard directly from the Reverend Dr. Amos Brown, her pastor at Third Baptist Church in San Francisco. It was clear from the very beginning of her national political career that she would not shy away from talking about her Baptist convictions. Okay, was she talking about her Baptist convictions while she sexually serviced a married man far, many, many years her elder, as an entree into politics? I understand anybody can fall short. We all do. I'm not here to tell you that before I was a saved man, that I was acting in pure ways with women. I was not. I was never cruel, praise God. Never could be. But I had relationships that did not meet marital standards via the Bible. I'm not trying to be blunt. I'm trying to be honest. But with Harris, it's a pattern. Living out her faith? Find me the mainstream Southern Baptist who believes that men are women. I know there's some. I know that people have fallen into this. I know that the beloved pastor J.D. Greer at one point even said he was going to use people's fake pronouns out of politeness. And J.D. Greer, grateful that he later walked that back, a brilliant mind and a brilliant pastor. But Cammie Harris is now introducing herself with pronouns. Cammie Harris is now pushing pronouns upon other people. She's now pushing people to be forced to lie. This is not living out faith. Back to this piece from MSNBC. Harris once served as Reverend Brown's campaign manager when he ran for re-election to the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco. She's an encourager. She encourages all people, regardless of their social station in life. Reverend Brown shared with Baptist news outlet World and Word and Way. She's a role model for womanhood and just human decency and dignity at its best. Decency? Indeed? She called Joe Biden a racist during the debates. Then she agreed to work for the racist as his VP. She raised money to bail out criminals who shot at cops with the Minnesota Bail Fund, who destroyed American cities, an act of pure, inarguable domestic terror. An effort to change policy by destroying the property of civilians and threatening them by demanding dead cops and getting it. This is her decency, or is that her dignity? Her dignity. Cammie Harris had for years spoke of herself as an Indian American. And then suddenly, when it became convenient, she decided she was then suddenly an African American
woman, but you're also Indian American, and I'm just curious.
Indeed.
What's the best? How do you describe yourself?
Did you read my book?
There's the laughing, cackling woman. Dignity. Did you read my book? I was Indian American, but now I'm black, and I laugh about it and giggle all the time. Is that her dignity? I can trace my belief in the importance of public service back to learning the parable of the Good Samaritan and other biblical teachings about looking out for our neighbor, she said in a religious news service interview in 2020. Ever since I was a girl, church has not been a place where I draw strength. It's a place for reflection, a place to study the teachings of the Lord and to feel grounded in a complex world. Church still plays that role for me. I also draw something else from it, a sense of community and belonging where we can build lasting relationships and be there for one another in times of need. Okay. Like you've been for the figurehead. Like you stood by him in his time of need. As you pretended along with everybody else in your circle that Joe Biden was crisp of mind. You pretended it. We can turn straight to your just last recent interaction, we're told, with Joe Biden, or one of them, where you accidentally said recording. This is you standing by your friend, your president, in his time of need.
It is so good to hear our president's voice. Joe, I know you're still on the call.
She started to say recording.
And we've been talking every day.
Okay, listen. It's so good to hear your voice on the recording, on the call, and we've been talking every day. With people to whom you speak every day, do you commonly say it's so good to hear your voice?
You guys heard it from Doug's voice. We love Joe and Jill. We really do. They truly are like family to us. And we do everybody here does.
It's mutual.
I knew you were still there. You're not going anywhere, Joe.
I'm watching you.
There's the laughter. There's the laughter. That's the dignity part. The dignity part. Back to this piece from MSNBC, which isn't at all propagandistic. Harris grew up in an interfaith family and chose to form an interfaith family as an adult. Her mother, an immigrant from India, took her to visit Hindu temples growing up. Harris has said this teaches her to see that faith teaches us to pursue justice. If elected, Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, wouldn't just be the first person to hold the title of first gentleman, he'd also be the first Jewish spouse of a president. Firsts abound. This is also a first. When she says that her interfaith family, and growing up that way as an adult, teaches her to visit Hindu temples and to respect these faiths and teaches us to pursue justice. Indeed, pursuing justice. The justice of being named your party's nominee versus winning an election is just to whom? To whom does that provide justice? The emptiness of statements like Kami Harris displays great, huge, unambiguous Christian faith is the emptiness of a nation, well, part of a nation, that is praying to an empty container. I always like to hearken back to the Apostle Paul's funny statement. He was talking to the men of Athens, and he said, "Men of Athens, I see you are very devout. In fact, walking through your marketplace, I saw that you are praying to an unknown God, an idol of an unknown God. We pray to a God we know, the only God." I'm paraphrasing the Apostle Paul. What I'm watching in all of this is one part Soviet. We've switched leaders. This is now our dear leader. She's always been our dear leader. We're very enthusiastic about her when 2 weeks ago it was Biden fever. We're very enthusiastic about Joe Biden until the debate performance, and then he had to get kicked out because everybody saw. It's not that they care that Joe Biden has dementia or Parkinson's. It's that they care that it was found out. And this leads me to the role of the mockingbird media in all of this. CNN has wasted no time whatever in going into full blast disinformation mode.
Kristen, we saw the MAGA team launch their first attack ad against Vice President Harris. Here's a clip.
Kamala knew Joe couldn't do the job, so she did it. Look what she got done. A border invasion, runaway inflation, the American dream dead. They created this mess. They? No, Kamala owns this failed record.
So it's interesting because they're kind of suggesting that she was like some sort of puppet master.
Yeah, I think this is their attempt, as I said earlier, to try to link her to the Biden administration and say those policies are actually her policies.
Well, she's the vice president.
Right,
fair.
Which it's not an unfair link.
They're saying that she was aware of this. Everybody who spent significant time around the figurehead was aware of this. And let's remember this about Kami Harris. She has no intellectual ability to explain anything complex. Now, what that could mean is that she's a very nervous speaker. She's just not very good at it. And yet, she's a lawyer. She's been around entertainment her whole life. A communication medium. Remember, she was in her 20s when she was hanging out with Sean P. Diddy Combs. I played that audio for you the other day. I played this as well, but as a reminder, this is VP Harris explaining the policies around Ukraine.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
Basically, that's Wikipedia. And not even that. Basically, that's an elementary school version of Wikipedia. Later today, I will go into a CrossFit gym. There is a female who owns it. Call her Mama T. She is a skilled accountant and real estate investor. She bought the gym because she loves the gym. She loves the people in it. She's a leader. She respects female leaders who lead under her. She is someone of intellectual heft. She could not be president because she's not a member of the mob. I will spend my time, part of it that day, working under a female coach who spent 13 years honing her craft, who's also on the board of medical centers who turn to her for advice on proactive health, keeping people healthy. Doctors going to her asking for this advice. She is not going to be president because she is not mobbed up. I think of women who are actually black and have been their whole lives with the intellectual capacity to lead. Both of the women I just discussed are godly women. They wear that on their sleeve. It's how they treat everybody. What really saddens me as the father of a daughter is the notion that this is the caliber of woman they want to be first. But then again, we have reached a point where many people look at the presidency as a contest between two lesser evils. We'll come back in the Disciples' View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling. Elon Musk made a, I think, very sad and brave admission, and that is that he got conned. We cannot allow ourselves to have any willingness to believe the white coats. Now, I have great respect for the profession of medicine. And part of that is because I have many family members in it. Part of it is because there was a time when this was a hard-earned and important profession. That's changing in the era of DEI. Often it's not hard-earned. Often it's handed to. People get it handed out to them, functionally. It's also, though, a changing of what medicine now means or healthcare now means. I have talked to, well, I spent a weekend. And I'm going to get these guys on the program. It's just a scheduling thing. I'm going to get them on so you can hear their voices yourself. I spent the weekend about 6 weeks ago, with two legendary doctors. One, a legend in how he has found that sugar, refined sugar, drives all sorts of disease in our body. He's a New York Times bestselling author time and time and time again. Another is the gentleman who did the first ever stem cell transplant in America in 1970. Both of them have since left healthcare, the new way. That is the insurance-driven model, the insurance and pharma-driven model, because they understand the job of doctors has become to hand out pills and pharma as injections, in injectables, insertables, and eventually, simply code in your body like the mRNA. People must adopt a different view when dealing with doctors. Their job is to sell you pharma. That's their job. And they don't view it as wrong because they've been taught this in medical school. And some of us think we wouldn't fall for this. But Elon Musk did in a brutal way. Elon Musk talked with Jordan Peterson on the Daily Wire about what he was conned into doing to his son.
It happened to one of my older boys. Where I was, essentially tricked into signing documents for one of my older boys, Xavier. This is before I had really any understanding of what was going on, and we had COVID going on, and so there was a lot of confusion. I was told, Saber might commit suicide if he.
That was a lie right from the outset.
Incredibly evil, and I agree with you that people that have been promoting this should go to prison.
That's
so I was tricked into doing this, it wasn't explained to me that puberty blockers are actually just sterilization drugs. So I lost my son, essentially. They call it dead naming for a reason.
Yeah,
the reason it's called dead naming is because your son is dead. So my son Xavier is dead. Killed by the woke mind virus.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that would be like.
Yeah. So.
Imagine this, that you're told you do this today or your kid's going to commit suicide by people in white coats. Elon Musk has learned the difference between healthcare today and healthcare of the old. Not all doctors fall in this category. If you work in this profession, it is up to you to police your profession or get out. Stop taking insurance. Set up a practice outside of that model. But Elon Musk is a brilliant mind. We can't argue with that. He is not, though, a man founded in the Word of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We should fear monkeying with God's design. We should fear it. We should fear vandalizing his creation. We should really fear that. God made us in his image. In his image he made us. Male and female he made us. Male and female. When they do this to kids, they are vandalizing God's image. I don't think that can make God happy. People should have great fear about making God unhappy. God is not crouched in the dark, ready to pounce and pound you for mistakes. He is light. In him there is no darkness at all. He is ready to accept you back into the family, to guide you away from decisions like that. Elon Musk was not afforded that. He did not afford himself the humility to have God lead him. I've heard him speak about Christianity as great ideas. I've heard him even flirt with the idea that Jesus is a savior. We should pray for Elon and his son. His son has indeed been captured by this and lives under a different name now. I choose not to say the name. I choose to be sad. And I choose to be hopeful. That when people like Elon Musk, with his money and, yes, his power that God grants him right now, allows him to have, that Elon Musk is willing to admit to such a mistake. If you're ever in that situation and the white coat presses you to make a decision on the spot, can I just say this to you? Look that white coat doctor or nurse in the eye and say, I am going to take time in prayer and reading my Bible before I make such a decision. You may be rushed. There may be moments in emergency rooms where you have to make a decision to save a life. So in that case, talk beforehand. My wife knows, and it's in our paperwork, I have absolutely no interest in having my body exist in a vegetative state. None whatsoever. If I'm not going to be animated and alive, let me die. I didn't say kill me. Let me die. My wife knows very clearly that. So if that were ever a question, she knows this, and we have prayed about it. Please make these positions clear in advance. And with young kids now able to get this stuff, the hormone blockers and surgeries against your will, I hate to do this, but get the pictures out. There's a man, it's a woman who lives as a man who calls himself Scott Nugent. Get it? New gentleman. He has pictures of the surgeries, on what they do to the body, on how gross and painful it is. I hate to say this, but make that available to your kids so they understand this is what they do to you. This is the experience it'll be like after the sweet dream goes away. I didn't intend to speak so long about this, but I'm very, very passionate about it. I feel like God has put a huge burden on me to discuss these things because I saw up close and personal what it did to families when this stuff was happening and no one would talk about it. That has always haunted me. I felt like I was screaming into the dark, even with a national media presence, screaming into the dark. I couldn't get a Republican congressman to care about it. Senator, governor, city council member, none. Because they were all afraid of those terribly scary social issues. As hard as it is to do sometimes, and this Lord, we on this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
There are three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. Almost always three sound bites. It's Kami Harris week. A fever has swept the country. People have fallen in love with this distinguished, respectful, brilliant, nuanced leader. With a lifetime of achievements like the bill to, not so much bills, but lifetime of achievements. Say, for instance, her work on the school buses. Remember that? They're yellow. Lifetime achievement. ABC, which still contends to provide news, talked about Kami Harris.
She made history as the first woman to serve as vice president after blazing new trails in public service.
Choose your adjective. Shakespearean, biblical, unprecedented, historic. No one knows.
All of this, I'm going to say Shakespearean above all.
It's a curveball the Trump campaign was preparing for, but this is not one that they wanted. And Trump's playbook so far has been to attack, attack, attack.
I'm sorry for my lack of professionalism. I guess that's my version of Kami Harris. I guess that's God saying, hey, buddy, you laugh like a weirdo sometimes as well. Shakespearean. Yeah. A soft coup against a very ill man. Certainly Shakespearean. It is. CBS News, second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. They have already found a card they're willing to play on Kami Harris's behalf.
She's a brilliant woman, a great orator, and the energy that she's going to bring to this, if in fact she becomes the nominee, is extraordinary. We've seen her in debates before. We've seen her during Senate hearings. She's quick on her feet. I think she'll be a formidable opponent.
She is a great orator.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade.
That's some oration. I have to agree. She is a great orator. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. CNN and MSNBC, they had their own ways of describing Kami Harris.
George Washington established a tradition in 1795.
George Washington, Harry Truman, and of course President Johnson in 1968.
George Washington in 1795 said, if democracy is going to work, political leaders have to leave power. Joe Biden is doing exactly the same thing.
Joe Biden was not offered kingship. Remember that George Washington was offered the opportunity to be a king. Yeah, he would have stayed in power for as long as he liked. And his family, his sons, would have reigned then on his after his death or after he appointed them. When people are willing to lie at that level, you know, it's possible to become the lie. You are what you eat. You are what you do. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
On that topic of Elon Musk talking about his son being lost to the woke mind virus, put on Elon says he was tricked into supplying puberty blockers to the young man who's now pretending to be a woman, apparently. When this all started and families were alone, I someday perhaps I'll write a book about this. I always think I'll write books. I can write great beginnings and endings. I just can't seem to get the middle parts done. Imagine this, that you are the only family whose daughter has decided she is a boy, and she is telling you, Mom, Dad, all I have to do is pick up that phone and call Child Protective Services and say, I feel unsafe because you will not affirm me, and I'm gone. So you are at least going to buy me boys' clothes because I'm a boy. You're at least going to do that. Or I will call Child Protective Services right now. And if you won't let me do it in this phone, I'll find a way. I'll run across to the neighbors. I'll call 911 and they'll come and get me. So you're at least going to take me shopping for boys' clothes. I know a dad who gave in to that and had the experience of walking through a Target store with his beautiful daughter as she did everything she could to make herself ugly. She went on an eating binge. She went from a normal healthy body weight to twice that to hide her feminine quality. And imagine at that time that you tell your friends, you're afraid that they're going to take your daughter and do this to her. And your friends say one of two things: that could never happen. Or, I hate to tell you this, but you need to be celebrating. Your daughter knows who she is. That's a little bit of what it was like at that time. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations until God grants us the pleasure of speaking together. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding wash over you and your families. I'm Todd Herman. This has been a Disciples View.